Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Head over to Apple Podcasts to leave your rating and review, and book tickets to our very first live show happening this February in Melbourne.
You can show your support by posting a story on your Instagram linking back to us at Gays Revolting Pod, or join our Facebook group by searching The Gays Revolting.
Oh, so I know you guys have all been waiting, but we are back.
Gosh, we are so back.
It's been 2 weeks, so maybe I should reintroduce.
Has it only been 2 weeks?
Is that all? It feels like forever.
So maybe our listeners need a bit of a reintroduction to us all.
Who are we? What are we about?
Who are we? What do we do? Why are we here?
What are our hobbies? What are our hopes and dreams?
First up, we're joined by Tom, whose Grindr hookup history is punching so far above his own weight, it might as well be organized by the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Welcome back, Tom.
Hi, thanks. It's true.
And of course, we've got Kyle. Now, Kyle, do you remember that movie Encino Man where he's like trapped in the basement? It's like a fallout shelter, so he knows nothing about current media and events and stuff.
No, but I see where this is going.
Yeah. That's basically you, but with gay culture before 2009.
I try and block it out.
And of course, my favorite, it's Mikey. Who ultimately was the decision for us to make the show audio only.
Oh, you bitch. Oh.
And in case you've forgotten, I'm Luke, the sweet, kind one that never anything mean.
Hey, guys, welcome back.
Hi.
I missed you all so much.
Yeah.
Good to see you
even
all.
You, Luke.
It's strange to be back in the room.
It's like, I mean, the table's been adjusted. So
the
it's like a brand
different.
New room.
Yeah.
We got some lovely messages from people over the Christmas period driving out to their parents and families and all friends and that sort of stuff. So thanks to people that were catching up.
People were gagging.
Yeah, there was a thirst for someone.
Yeah.
Gagging.
You people need to
thirsty bitches
seek help. Like, if this is your pinnacle of entertainment, wow. The Australian entertainment industry is fucked.
Well, it's kind of anxious to come back too. When you see the thirst, you're like,
it's like
holy
after
shit.
People record their first album, it's like, oh god, the second's like, not going to be the best. Yeah. It's not going to be as good.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if the first 2 minutes are anything to go by, this season is shit.
They've already unplugged. Oh, like, yeah. They're not even listening anymore.
This is RuPaul's Drag Race season 10.
I want to know what everyone did.
What have you been
doing?
Yeah,
what have you been doing with your lives? We've just been like not talking to each other at all.
No.
But so I went to the country. I had my break from work.
Oh, yeah,
work.
That's right.
Yeah. And I went to the country to see my boyfriend's family and spend Christmas with them.
Oh,
and
cute.
Faith restored in Christmas. It was like one of the best Christmases I've ever had.
Was it like a real Christmas?
It was so nice.
The photos looked beautiful.
It was really, it was sticky.
Mainly the ones with your brother in it.
Yes, my brother was invited.
I thought it was
the
very
invitation
cute
extended
that
to my brother.
Your boyfriend's family invited your brother.
Yeah.
Really
and
sweet.
They were like so welcoming and just beautiful people. Mm. Really,
also,
really good people.
I thought it was really interesting because the only times I've ever met your brother are like 4 a.m. at Doof Doof when he's like in like short shorts and a mesh singlet. So it's really nice seeing him in like wholesome family pictures around the Christmas table
so
with like a roast turkey in front of him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a photo of him in daylight.
Yeah. He doesn't come out in the day. He's in his clothes.
Is he a vampire?
Yeah. But oh my gosh, it was so awkward because we were playing the Kris Kringle version when it's
it's like the bad Santa, and then you can steal other people's gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Duncan's brother made some comment. He's like, oh, better like sit on your alcohol to like make sure no one steals it or something like that. And my brother pipes in. He's like, that's an interesting way of making a bottle disappear in front of his whole family. It was just like deafening silence. Oh. And then everyone like erupted into laughter. And yeah. I was like, I bring you to my boyfriend's family, and this is what you do to me.
Oh.
It was so awkward. Bless. Oh. And then I went to my New Year's Weave party.
Oh yeah, those photos were so cute.
Everyone was like, you nailed this. Like, I just had a long brown hair wig like tied back, and everyone was just like, oh, you look like a surfer.
You actually look like a girl JB would date.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey,
like,
JB.
When I thought I was confused who I got the message from. JB back on Tinder?
Yeah. I had a bender. Like, we drank a lot of alcohol. It was a bit weird at the party. A bit of a feisty Kyle came out to play, and I've never seen the side of myself. I don't know if it was like the combination of alcohol or something, or just
Just alcohol, I'm
like,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Sick of people pleasing or something. Was just calling. Maybe it was. Maybe it just gave me confidence, but I was not taking shit from nobody that night. There was a guy at the party, and he was a cousin of a friend. And do you ever just meet those people who are just like so abrasive when we've met Luke, but like,
yeah,
like just really abrasive and just like get on you about everything, that's really offensive. And he was having goes at me, and I just like stopped it. I'm like, you are a fucking C-bomb.
Oh my God.
Like, in front of everyone in the kitchen. And he was just like, what? I was like, you heard me. I was like, I've never liked you. You're a total dick.
Oh my God, this
like,
is amazing.
I was just like, and it was just like silence. Like, everyone in the kitchen was just like staring at us. I'm like, I'm so sick of your attitude. You can't treat people this way. And it was just like, he walked out the room, and my brother's like, you destroyed him.
Oh my God.
And then in the Uber later on in the night, we were in the Uber with some random gay guys. And then my favorite question, which will get me from 0 to 100, is when people find out my brother is my brother and that we're both gay. And this little gay boy in the seat in front was like, little gay boy was like, oh, you guys are brothers. Do you guys fuck? I'm like, do you fuck your fucking mother?
Yeah.
And he's like, my mom's dead. And I was like, good.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I don't know who that was, but it was like Jersey Shore Kyle.
It was that alter ego. Like,
maybe that was my new resolution to like not people please and just fucking say what I
prefer
feel.
That
yeah.
Kyle.
Yeah. Can you bring him to the podcast? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We're gonna get you a wig to wear in the studio.
Yeah, maybe I'll just wear a wig.
Yeah.
And I'll fight all you bitches.
Your top bitch.
Yeah. How about you guys? What have you guys been up to?
Josh and I had a really chill Christmas. It was good because my mom cancelled Christmas this year because no one was going.
Oh, that's right.
And we ended up just going up to Mildura in northern Victoria to visit Josh's parents.
Oh, lovely.
And I got to see the family.
I mean, not Mildura, that is.
No.
Obviously.
That is scary shit. But yeah. No, nice that you got to see
the parents. And we saw the family home, and that was cute. And they have a pool. And I was just like, yes, I'm being in this pool
every day.
Was that
the first time you went?
I'd been there once before, but it was for one night. And I didn't really get to see anything, which was like, whatever. But one of the days that we were there, like, Josh and I were in the pool, and then we decided to start fooling around.
Oh my God.
It was like one of his fantasies to fool around in a pool. And I was just
in the family home?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So we're fooling around, and like, I was just like, babe, sex in water doesn't really work. And it's just like, let's just try it. I was just like, okay, cool, whatever. We are very drunk at this point. It's probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh. And like the whole family's there.
Well, no, it was just his mum and his dad that were there. And they were in the house. And then all of a sudden, his mum comes out.
No.
And we are butt naked. And so, I swam over to the side of the pool, like, hugging the side of the pool.
Like, just
has like a glass of wine in her hand. And she walks over, like, hey, boys, how's it? Okay. And like awkwardly walks off.
I think I left the oven on. Bye. Yeah.
And then after that, I was just like, okay, we're just going to go inside now and just be quiet. That was Mildura for us. And then we just came home and we chilled for like the last week because we had 2 weeks off, which was really nice.
Oh, yeah. I spent 2 weeks playing games with GPs, which I won't go into now.
Please do. No, please do. GPs, like, is in general practitioners, family doctors.
Yeah.
Good, hardworking people.
I struggle when I have free time. And so I just saw a lot of GPs and would try to give them the most bizarre diagnosis that I could.
Symptoms.
And so there was one that I went into, and I started off talking just about my sinuses. And I was like, oh, I think it's hay fever. It's like my nose is really blocked. It's only ever at night, and it's on the right size, occasionally dizzy. And for some reason, the walls just keep bleeding. cannot figure it out. And then I actually had to go get a prescription for something at Chemist Warehouse.
The and little some Giuliano fragrance.
And some Giuliano fragrance. I actually love that.
Yeah.
And the girl working there came up to me and she's like, "So I just want to check, do you have a regular GP?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And she's like, "Our records just show you've seen 10
oh my God.
In the last
They're not Pokemon, Luke. You're not trying to collect them all.
But the other exciting thing that I learnt over my 2 weeks off from work is I discovered a new kink that I'm into.
And why didn't you lead with that?
And it's like a peanut butter and jelly kind of situation because it combines with my pre-existing kinks.
Oh, not literally.
Oh, it's not like you're not like just like fucking a sandwich.
No, but I have thought about that.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure.
But edging.
Oh, edging, yeah.
Edging is etching. Great. Like I was like.
Like yeah, an etch a stone? Edge. Yeah, I fucked the shit out of those things.
A little chisel?
Edging plus choking is just like the cornerstones of my values, which is withholding.
Yeah.
Emotionally, physically, just everything about me is withholding.
I love that Carl's just giggling like a schoolgirl while you say this. There's something about the lack of oxygen or something prolongs or enhances the stimulation or something like that. Is that correct?
I don't know. My daddy just didn't treat me right.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm into
okay.
it.
Well, good on you, love. Goodness. I'm glad I got some hobbies.
But that's my like Christmas tip. Is just the tip. Combine those two things.
Or like, not the tip, if that's going to keep you
hold
from
out.
Going. Yeah.
Find someone that's really dominant. Give it a go.
Yeah, I'm just too impatient. I can't do the edging stuff.
Like, that's, let's
that's
get this
fun
done.
Of it.
No, I've got Netflix shows to catch up on. I can't
you can do
be
both.
Sitting around waiting all day to finally come.
You can actually do both.
¿Por qué no las dos?
I had a lovely Christmas. Nothing very special or exciting. I spent it with the family. But a couple of days after Christmas, sitting on the couch late at night, feeling a bit flat on Grindr, and this hot twink was messaging me. What I assumed was a hot dumb twink messaging me.
Hot dumb
twink.
Dumb twink.
Yeah.
You as in like, assumed they were dumb.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, like they wanted to have sex with me. I assumed that there's something wrong with them.
Find that funny.
He was like, "Can I come over?" And I was like, "Yeah, why not?" So I'm thinking I'm just going to get a quick blowjob and go to bed. Comes over, Russian, beautiful, stunning, like stunning, beautiful guy. He's here doing his PhD, really intelligent, incredibly funny, which I didn't know Russians could be. And instead of just a quick blowjob, we stayed up till 6 o'clock in the morning talking. And he stayed for 4 nights.
Oh my God, four
like
nights.
Like, did he go home? In
He went home and like got some clothes and stuff and then came straight back. And then like I took him to a theater show and we went out for dinners. And we spent New Year's Eve together and had this amazing time. It was really, really nice. Actually,
love is alive.
So cool. Yeah, and then I went away for a little bit and came back, and then like the first night that I was back, which was the night before last, he came over straight away. And he's really funny too. He was like, we were walking down past the commission housing in Carlton. He goes, "Oh, reminds me of home."
Oh, in Soviet Russia.
Oh my goodness.
No, he's got a really good sense of humor, which is nice. And I went on a little holiday. I went up to the Sunshine Coast to visit my very dear friend Bridie, the Paralympian who I've told you about, who's got my feet. So she and her fiance have bought a place up there, and I hadn't been to their house before. And he's also a Paralympian. He's a quad amputee, amputated from the knees on both legs and then one hand from the wrist. And then on the other hand, he's got one finger. And I've always admired, the guy is just a genuinely nice person as well. But I've always admired how dexterous he is and how ambitious he is to make sure that he does everything. Yeah, but I've never seen him just like around the house. Oh, fuck you. I've never seen him just around the house. And it was amazing watching this couple with like only 11 phalanges between two of them, like run a whole house. The first night we were there, he was cooking dinner. And he was cooking tacos and he's got like his fake legs on and that sort of stuff and he's made this entire tacos and everything with one finger, which is fucking incredible.
You like barely if I make toast.
Yeah, I know. Like I have a little bit of a shit day and I'm like, well, Uber Eats then. I can't be expected to cook. This guy's preparing an entire three-course meal with one finger. And then the next morning, Brody was like, oh, we're thinking about going on a hike to this waterfall. There's this really nice swimming hole.
Cool.
Do you want to do it? And I'm like, I'm not really fit. So I was like, well, how hard's the hike? And she said, oh, well, Chris can do it, so you'll be fine. And I'm like, I know he's at a disadvantage somewhat, but he is also a Paralympian. Yeah, so I don't really know if that's a good yardstick to measure it by. So we got to this hiking spot and he put on his fake legs. You know those ones you see the athletes wear with the sort of springy? So put them on. Bridie put her fake legs on and we went hiking down this hill to this waterfall and I was fucking dying. But I didn't want to like show that, you know, I'm trying to just keep my own. And like at one point he was like, oh, do you mind because the fake legs get really sweaty inside where they've got their stumps. So he was like, oh, do you mind if we just stop for a sec, I gotta dry my legs off. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, man. If you if you need a break, that's fine. Like, we'll just wait for you. Don't worry about it. And we got down there, and it's beautiful, like waterfall up in Queensland.
I saw the pictures there.
Yeah, really, yeah, yeah. Really, and this nice, big, like this really deep pool which you could dive right off the rocks straight into and not touch the bottom. And Brody was like, oh, I didn't bring my bathers. I'm not going to go for a swim. Chris was like, well, I will. And I was like, well, fuck, I've got to do this as well. So yeah. Chris, incredible, like takes off his limbs, commando rolls off over the rocks to the thing. And so all the people around the swimming hole are sort of looking, going, wow, isn't this guy amazing?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, God, I've been drinking a lot. I had a little bit too much to eat for Christmas, so I'm going to keep my t-shirt on. And all I was wearing was like a pair of footy shorts, like short footy shorts with no undies underneath. And so I'm like trying to slip in gracefully into the water, like the rocks are hurting my feet and stuff. We get in there and I think, well, the water is the one part of the, you know, that's my territory, because you need like fingers and toes to disperse water so you can move through it.
Yeah.
I thought that's the bit that I'll be good at. Fucking guy's doing laps around me as we're swimming over to the waterfall. We decided to get out and we got back to the edge, and it's like, you know those rock pools that are really steep? It's not like a beach that goes gradually up. You get it. It's really steep. So Chris just like dives out of the water like a fucking dolphin and like lands on the rock with like his one finger and pulls himself up. It was incredible.
What?
Incredible. So all these people are watching and I'm like right next to him and it's my turn to get out and I'm like, fuck, how am I going to fucking...
How do I top this?
Yeah. So I'm like, jump. I was like that scene in The Lion King, like cling onto the rock.
Yeah. And long live the king.
I don't have the upper body strength to like, because I've just been swimming around in this fucking lake as well. So I'm like trying to climb my way up this rock. I got one leg up behind me. And I realized my dick and balls are fallen out of the board shorts. And all these people are staring at us. And there's always like families and kids looking. And I was like, fuck, 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 fuck. What do I do? What do I do? Just drop back in? Do I keep going? And then fucking Chris leans over and goes, do you want a hand, mate? And I'm like, well, what do I do? Because like if I take his help, then I'm out of it quicker. But then also I'm like taking a hand off the guy that literally doesn't have one. But if I pull him back into the water, everyone's going to think I'm an awful person. And so I'm like, no, I'm fine. So I'm like just clamoring my way back up this rock with my dick and balls hanging out with a whole lot of kids watching me. Anyway, so I've decided I've got to get fitter this year. And stop making excuses for myself.
It's that time of year where we make promises to ourselves, which we won't keep, but it's nice to do. But there's some tips and tricks around it. There's some usefulness around it as well, which is, of course, New Year's resolutions. Who has them? Who has them? Who needs them? Who wants them?
Look, there's under like your chair. Everyone gets a resolution.
I flip-flop.
I'm sure you
Yeah.
We've heard.
Poor choice of words. I flip-flop a lot with resolutions. But since working in mental health, I've learned a lot more about habits and the psychology of habits and how that's a very real, physical, scientific thing. That's kind of changed the way I've approached New Year's resolutions. There's not much work you can do in a day. We've talked about on the podcast me joining various gyms. Mm-hmm. I think I have 4 current memberships and silly things that I commit to, clay making classes and all of that rubbish. But it's not actually any habitual behavior, so it never lasts.
Do you think in a way, though, trying all these different things is actually good for your mental health because you're just trying new things?
Oh, bitch.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't think I've told this story on this show, but there's this thing JB and I did in Adelaide before we moved here. I was so sick of Adelaide. Everyone I knew I went to high school with, and everywhere I went was where my sister's high school friends went. Like, I was just bored of it. And it led to huffing paint. It led to burning things and starting fights and just being stupid. And so I went out and I bought a little Travel Trouble, the board game, the one with the... Travel Trouble.
Say that 10 times faster.
Travel Trouble is a board game where you pop a dice in the middle, and depending on what number it lands, riveting information. No, wow.
I've just wasted my holidays.
No. Anyway, I had a pocket version, which is like a little miniature one.
Right.
And what JB and I decided was at the start of every week, we would write 6 things we had never ever done. That it just came straight to the top of our minds, you know, like eat a banana off the street. Or like, you know, good things, bad things, everything in between. And then we'd pop our little Travel Trouble and whatever number it landed on, we had a week to do that task.
Oh, okay.
It's how I got this first ugly tattoo.
Yeah.
It's how I picked what the tattoo was going to be. And ultimately, the last thing it picked was
being on this podcast.
welcome.
No, it was to move to Melbourne.
Yeah, right.
I had $200. I was like 18. I lived at home with my parents and
sniffing paint.
Sniffing paint. $200 in my name. Got on a plane that weekend. Said, "Mum and Dad, I'm going to Melbourne for the weekend," and have been here for like 14 years.
Wow.
But I realized the weekly popping and writing of the list is a habitual behavior.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
It's not actually the doing the new things.
Yeah.
It's making a habit around doing new things.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that's what's key with these New Year's resolutions and joining F45 and exercising is, more importantly, in my opinion, is not just the decision to do it, but trying to actually
try it, yeah.
Try it and make it a habit. Mm. Once something's ingrained in you mentally, it takes about 3 months or something.
Yeah. Isn't it something like you have to do something like 12 times or something, then it becomes a habit?
It's a very specific
like that. Yeah, it's like a very specific. Right. Like once you don't, then it's a habit.
It's habitual.
Yeah.
I think New Year's resolution should be New Year habit.
Habitolution.
Stop. I'm issuing a cease and desist right now.
Mrs. Habersham.
My New Year's
Mrs. Habersham. Sorry, just the educated gaze laughing over here, yeah.
What new habits am I going to pick up this year? Mm. And for me, mine's actually been cutting habits out. I've deleted Instagram.
Yeah, I've got enough habits.
Yeah.
You deleted Instagram?
I deleted Instagram off my phone.
I didn't notice because I wasn't following you.
So I just don't check it.
Good on you.
I have an account, but I just don't do it. That's so good. Sorry to anyone that's...
following
it. But you can still follow us at Gaze Revolting Pod on Instagram.
Yeah, that's interesting. I also joined F45 towards the end of last year, and I have sort of the last 6 months has been a very gradual journey towards slightly starting to think about focusing on my physical health a little bit better.
Good for you.
Which is good. I took a little break from F45 over the Christmas New Year's period.
As everybody does.
No, I think you're right. Trying new things is really important. The two things I've decided to do this year, I wouldn't really call them resolutions, but just sort of things that I reflected on towards the end of last year. One of them is I'm doing a drag makeup course.
Amazing.
I'm very excited about.
Oh my gosh.
And the other one is just, which everyone was always saying they're doing, is just sort of being a little bit more careful about who I'm hanging out with.
Yeah.
Who you let in.
Not to be dramatic and cut people out and that sort of shit. Last year was not a great year for mental health for me. But when I sort of was reflecting on it around that New Year's time, was thinking a lot of the stuff that came up was because of who was it just sort of letting myself not be treated very well by certain by various people. So it's just being more careful about who
not
I
allowing
spend
that
time
to continue.
So I'm more of a mental health than a physical health.
They can tie in, because I mean, you get like good mental health from physical health.
It's absolutely very true. Which is why I am sort of starting to begin to think about maybe
begin to think about maybe like
about my physical health.
I've never been one to make New Year's resolutions, but I started thinking after my weird Jersey Shore Kyle that came out to play, I was like, maybe that's my resolution, to not people please so much and just do what makes me happy. Like, and I guess obviously also continue with the fitness thing, because I kind of dropped off over the holidays.
You look like an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog.
I've been like treating my body like a garbage fire. And
you look so handsome, you could work at Grilled.
Thanks.
They're all beautiful. Everyone at Grilled is beautiful.
I went back to PT this week for the first time.
How
since
was that?
Year. Oh my God. I feel like, picture like, you know when you stomp on a spider and all his legs just like pull in and it's all like shriveled, and like, I feel like I can't move my limbs out anymore. I'm just like stuck like that. I mean,
no, I didn't know what that like, because I rehomed
you
them.
Me. And also, I want to use Mardi Gras as a goal to be comfortable with my body.
Oh, no, you're going to be one of those Mardi Gras
I'm not like
guys.
Crazy like most people, but I want to use it. I'm using it as a healthy goal. It's not terrible to want to be healthy.
No, it's fine. No.
It's just so many guys use Mardi Gras as like their period of time when they have to be healthy by. It's like, you can have fun at Mardi Gras and
I know, I did last year.
Yeah. Starving for Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, on Twitter leading up to Christmas was like a pretty shocking place to be in terms of body image. And I feel like New Year's resolutions often tie into body image.
Yeah, a lot.
There was a meme that was going around, I don't know if anyone saw it, the like, not pregnant, just eating good.
Did you guys see it? 24 nuggets.
It was just a selfie a chick had taken, and she was like, don't worry, not pregnant, just eating well. And she was a fuller figured woman.
Yes.
And the gays took it and ran with it, like we do. And it ended up being a lot of very chiseled Abercrombie and Fitch types reposting, you know, not pregnant, just eating well, six pack, you know, whatever.
It must be hard.
And they're the kind of images that gay men are assaulted with. Assaulted with.
Nah,
but
in a way,
And I think that impacts the way we make decisions about how we live, who we interact with, how we value ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that tied into getting rid of Instagram as well for me.
It's a big
just going
offender.
It causes a lot of people to make these New Year's resolutions, which are look like a underwear model by June 2019.
And then start with these dramatic, like the first 2 weeks of January, incredibly dramatic overhauls of their life.
Year.
It's like, well, no. And that goes back to that thing of having to do something however many times, is you can't keep that up realistically. Like a real true change to your regular physical exercise or diet has to be a gradual and ongoing increase in small increments, I think.
We actually have a course, and this is not a plug, but we have a course at our practice which is called Healthy Habits.
Yeah.
And the psychologist that runs that actually uses me twice in it as an example of what not
to do.
To do, because it's exactly that. I see something, it makes me feel shit.
Is that connected to that and tacky healthy habits salad bar that you see at every shopping center?
Yeah, it's a crossover. But she uses me twice in there because I'm classic at it. I go into work, I'm like, I joined F45, I went 18 times this week. I'm only eating seeds now forever.
Yeah.
And it's not sustainable.
Yeah. It's not sustainable. I do that all the time and I get really embarrassed about it. So then I start not doing things. And I think whilst it's not sustainable to do those things, there's nothing wrong with trying it. Do you know what I mean?
Because if
you keep trying different stuff, you're eventually going to find something that you can stick
with. Getting the right headspace for it.
This deadline of like saying, I need this by this day.
This
enforces doing things in the wrong way. If you just want it, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there.
Yeah.
Start going to the gym when you feel like going to the gym.
That's it.
And eventually you'll find yourself being happy with the way your body looks and maybe step a bit back from the thirst traps that we're sort of bombarded with. Sorry, Kyle. I know you're in the pool. I forgot you were here for a second.
So like Josh and I had friends over for New Year's at my place and we like someone was just like, oh, what's your resolution? And Josh was just like, you know what? Let's not do resolutions this year. Let's say, what are three new things that you want to try that
bungee
you haven't
jumping.
Tried before? Well, like someone did say that. And like my three things I decided. The first one was whitewater rafting because I've always wanted to do it.
Oh, fun.
Oh my God, bird box. Like, sorry.
Yeah, well, just blindfolds. Like,
I'm going to need you to look.
Just on a side note, if this was Bird Box, which three of us would you make look?
Oh my God. Oh my God, first game.
Luke.
Well, he's got like heavy glasses. Actually, he probably wouldn't see it anyway.
Take his glasses off, he'll be fine. Yeah,
yeah exactly right. Like you can't see the monster there.
Back to the last
Bird Box should be a topic.
So like I said, like I wanted to do whitewater rafting because I've never done it before and that's something that I've always wanted to do. And I was just like, that's something easily attainable and like that's a fun thing to do. And the other two things were Josh and I are planning a holiday away this year. So my thing was travel to another country, which I'm super excited about.
Where do you want to go?
Be great. Well, we want to do Southeast Asia.
Yeah, heaven.
And then the other one was stay in a hostel because I've never stayed in
a
hostel.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you do it? Because it's a life experience.
Do you know, this sounds really prudish, but I did it once ever. I traveled a lot when I was younger.
Yeah, yeah.
And stayed once in a hostel and will never do it again. Ever.
No.
I love them. I stayed in a hostel once and it was when I was dating a girl at the time and we had a massive fight and we were super drunk but we weren't speaking to each other and so in permanent marker we wrote on the walls of the hostel.
What did you write?
Things like, you've really upset me, I'm disappointed in your behavior, and then like she'd reply and write next to it. And then in the morning, it was like the Homer goes crazy scene from The Simpsons. The whole wall was covered in teenage angsty things.
Oh,
and we had to go down and get bleach and like wipe it off.
Did they see it? Or like, did you just...
Yeah, no, they came in and they were like, you're going to clean
this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they were like, you got to clean this shit up. Some Irish people came and said, sort your shit out. We're Irish and
even we...
This is too far,
can't deal
man.
With this.
I know. The one time I did was in Birmingham in England.
Okay,
And this disgusting guy that stank masturbated for ages. And then finally
what, in
stopped.
The dorm?
In the dorm, very aggressively, very loudly.
Oh, goodness.
And he finally finished and I was like, okay, cool, I can go to sleep. Woke up about half an hour later and this French couple... were fucking like obnoxiously loudly on the buck above my head. So yeah,
jeez, beautiful.
Like, nah, not doing this again.
So that's something I have to look forward to.
The only time I ever stayed in a hostel was in the city I was living in, because a boy I liked was visiting from another city, and he was too cheap to get an apartment, and he stayed there, and I stayed with him. We didn't
in
even,
a dorm
we didn't
room?
Even hook up. It was like a private hostel room.
That's not as bad.
It was like still really loud, but I was like, this is so lame. I'm not even traveling, and I'm like staying. Yeah.
I'm not counting that as a hostel. Sorry.
Yeah. I know a good hostel you can stay at, and for the first one, it's not really white water rafting.
Okay,
but right. I know a white guy.
It's Sandra Bullock.
I know a white guy. He's into water sports.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we could get a raft, and
like,
that could like
owns a raft.
There'll be a paddle, and there'll be yeah.
So it's pretty much the same experience.
Could substitute it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So have you guys heard about the whole like Kevin Hart Oscars sort of
yes.
situation? Yeah. Oh God. So just to like sort of touch on that, Kevin Hart was announced as the Oscars host for this year. And
for the old queens who have no idea about pop culture, Kevin Hart is...
he is a comedian.
Yes.
And he has been in a lot of movies. And there's a lot of jokes about
Would
him
you
being
say
short.
High quality movies?
I would say no.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So yeah, after that was announced, a few tweets from back in the day, back from like 2010 or something, resurfaced.
Okay, it's just, that's not a million years ago, let's be clear.
Like I was already
past my use by date in 2010.
Resurfaced of him saying like homophobic jokes and homophobic slurs
and quite offensive
stuff. The Academy asked him to apologize or step down. And his sort of point was, I've already apologized for this in the past. Why do I need to apologize for this again? Yeah. And decided to just step back from it.
Yeah. And we thought that was it.
We thought that was it. Like a few celebrities have stepped forward to defend him, one being Nick Cannon. And he brought up a bunch of tweets that other celebrities have tweeted in the past that were quite homophobic that have also apologized for it.
Oh, like Chelsea Handler.
Chelsea Handler. And was saying, but why is it that we're only calling out Kevin Hart and not all of these other people? And
but they kind of are, aren't they? I mean, it seems to be this big trend at the moment of people like going through everyone's complete history of their online presence and finding like anything they can use. I mean, I'm not a fan of Kevin Hart. Like, I think he's a total twat.
The other thing is, I would say the big difference between his tweets and the stuff that they were posting about Chelsea Handler and Amy Schumer and that sort of stuff is that his tweets were aggressively homophobic, whereas theirs were ignorantly using the word faggot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing.
That's still not okay.
Yeah.
The other thing being that I'm very certain that either of those women and all the other people that were pulled up, if they were asked to apologize again, they would have
absolutely
would continue
would
to apologize forever because
exactly
they
right.
Because that's the thing about being sorry about something is that you continually are continuously sorry about something. You don't say it once and then that's you've signed a contract saying I'm not in trouble anymore.
And that's the thing. It's just like, but why don't you want to apologize for it again? Because everybody else would.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any
sense.
Yeah,
if you're actually sorry, you would have no problem.
Well, there'd be no
just
problem.
Being like, I am sorry.
Say sorry forever.
And if you're going to host the freaking, like, Oscars, like, him, though. I was like, why even him? He's not interesting. Like, I don't care if he doesn't. I hope
that's
he doesn't.
It.
But this story isn't even over.
No, it's not finished yet. This is not done yet.
This is the midpoint.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, Ellen DeGeneres, who is one of his friends, had him on the show and was defending him and was saying, like, well, he's already said sorry for it, da da da. Like, why are we jumping jumping on the bandwagon again and like going for him, and then was saying like, oh, don't listen to all these trolls and people online. They're just a small group of people making a loud noise. We all need to make a louder noise than everyone else. And it was just a bit like, oh, come on, Alan.
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
So you should know better. I wasn't that interested in this story until the whole Alan thing started happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck off, Alan.
Are you saying Alan or Ellen? It sounds like, okay.
I've got Ellen. An Australian accent. You sound like A's and my E's sound exactly the same.
Remember that video? He's like, Alan, 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 Alan. Alan.
Oh, now I'm going to be paranoid about how I pronounce Alan.
No problem. Go ahead.
So, Ellen.
Yes.
Natural.
So, people accuse her of not being supportive enough for the LGBTQ community. And I agree with that now. But I think that we forget that when she first came out, she was one of the very first people to come out on primetime television, that sort of stuff. The first talk show host and has continued to host her show. Mm-hmm. The problem is she hasn't evolved with the world as the world has evolved. No. And so she's still doing this very tame version of gay. It's like, thanks for letting me be here kind of gay. She is the original Queer Eye when she needs to have evolved into the new Queer Eye. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah.
I've not liked her for a while. That whole stuff that she does where she's like swooning over George Clooney.
I'm like, you don't like boys. Remember that?
She's always talking about how she's like, George Clooney is so sexy, and she always has like topless men on the thing. Don't try and pander to the heterosexual women that watch the show. They should be watching the show because they like the show, and if they're not, then fuck them.
Yeah.
She also now seems to have this God complex where she thinks she represents the LGBT.
I am Oprah.
But I don't think even Oprah would be ignorant enough to assume that she speaks for the entire of any community. But Alan seems quite comfortable doing that. And I just think it's so ignorant to say, don't listen to the trolls. Yeah. Sorry, you're calling the people that said this man saying homophobic stuff. You're troll, calling them a troll? Like, no. He is the troll in the first place for abusing vulnerable people. I got really upset when she started doing that. It was awful.
I don't even know why he's a thing. Like, he's just so not.
But he's not a thing. That's
he's not. Like, how is he? Like,
well, it's hard to say because we're in Australia. Like, you don't know. Obviously, he's been picked for a reason. He must be a lot more popular over
in America.
But
I didn't get it.
I hate using this word sometimes, but there's an intersectionality about this, which is unavoidable. Which is a person of color getting a gig that generally does not go to a person of color.
Absolutely, so many better people.
Because I was watching this from when it broke day one on Twitter. I think I was sending it to you, being like, this is a thing. Because on one hand, you had these homophobic tweets, and they're violent homophobic tweets. And we've all said things that can be interpreted as homophobic. But as a comedian, they have to be funny at the same time. And these tweets were not funny.
They weren't.
But reading the comment threads as this broke, he posted a very awful video, basically from bed. I don't know if you guys watched
that. No.
It was the day it happened. It was in bed. He didn't even bother putting a t-shirt on. He was just like, you guys need to move on. You got to grow up. This shit's in the past. Yeah. Find something better to focus on.
Easy for him to say.
The retweets and the comments that came from that, majority were from the black community. And they were able to sort of move past the fact that this was affecting the LGBT community and could see that this is an opportunity for the African-American community that was getting sort of taken away. So it's much more complex than it originally seemed. I think that original non-apology made me feel sick. I was like, this person can't even be bothered to put a t-shirt on to make a statement. I agree with everything else that you boys have said. If I've said some awful shit, I've said on this show, I was a bully in high school.
Absolutely.
And if any of those people came to me and said, you were actually a little bit transphobic or biphobic in high school, I'd say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And if they came to me in 2 years and said, you know what, that still stung a bit.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'm still sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And if I'd posted it online, I would definitely go back and get rid of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't leave that on my timeline, especially not in this day and age where it's your new resume in a lot of ways. But I think the reason why this issue is becoming bigger and bigger and causing some rifts within the community is that there is this cross-section of race and the LGBT community. But there was a lot of support, mainly from the African-American community, saying, don't apologize.
Yeah.
Don't lose this gig. This is a big gig. So it's been interesting to watch. I also think Alan's just whatever, but She did pick Laura Dern.
Yes.
For that coming out episode.
Yeah.
That I will always respect.
One other thing that really annoyed me about that whole situation with Ellen on her show was that she said to everybody, she was like, oh, I've contacted the Academy and I've spoken to them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's the high power.
Oh, sorry, God has spoken.
God has spoken. Like, I've spoken to them. They want you back
now. I personally called them. Like, I didn't get one of my assistants to do it.
I personally called them. Yeah, and was just like, but he's apologized in the past and apparently now they're willing to have him back without this apology. Apology, and it's up to him now. Yeah. And the entire crowd was like, woo, yeah.
She's like one of those
cool
snobby parents. Do you know, like, how much I donate to the school?
Yeah, like, that's it. And I was just like, this is some bullshit. You should be like.
And she made him out to be such a victim in this
situation. Yeah, massively. You still need to continue to apologize for it and make an effort to show that you are actually sorry for what you've done.
Yeah, you know, if I didn't see your apology in the past, then I haven't felt it. So now that I know that you've
said
this
stuff,
remind me
that you are
sorry. I need you to apologize. Yeah.
Has anyone actually seen the receipts of this apology, though?
No.
Receipts have been seen. I've seen none of them.
I want to see these receipts because he was 30 years old when he made these tweets. There is a question online about whether you should be held accountable for things that you have said or done in the past.
The internet remembers nothing.
Yeah. So, no, you should be able to be questioned about them. Yeah. And like you were saying before, Luke, you've said bad stuff in the past. I have as well. When I first started doing comedy, I was very clumsy. I was very naive. I've learned a lot about the world. I tweeted words that are definitely transphobic. Yeah. I defended people that I now would not in my wildest dreams. But like you said, I have changed my mind about that sort of stuff, which everyone is allowed to do.
Yeah.
I've learned about that sort of shit. And if someone pulled me up on anything that I said in the past, absolutely, I will say, yeah, I was an idiot. And I would never say that. I would never do that routine now. I would never say that word now. I would never, you know. We want people to evolve. We want to encourage people to evolve. When we campaign for stuff with politicians, and that's the whole intention, is that people learn and change their minds. And, and it was Obama that first talked about how he evolved on the topic of gay marriage, wasn't it? Brilliant. Like, for a politician to admit that they had publicly supported something and then changed their opinion on it, that is a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
But you have to then continue to apologize for what you had previously supported or said.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Or go back through and get rid of it.
But
you can't continue.
Yes, but don't deny it. Yeah, deleting sometimes also implies, like, trying to cover up. I think you should delete it,
I think,
but still acknowledge that you posted it.
I think deleting is the way to go, because with a lot of these things, especially these tweets that are from years ago, people are only seeing them now.
Yeah.
And that's creating a circle of trauma for people.
Yeah.
And
the
longer you leave something
online... But still,
online,
you can delete... Like, I think the Sarah Silverman tweet was deleted years ago, but it's still...
Yeah,
it's still once it's out there.
It's still there.
Once it's out there,
something about saying
Game of Thrones is shit, you're all fags. Or
something like that.
A throwaway dumb tweet like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, using a term that is not acceptable to use.
Yeah.
People can screenshot, and I totally understand that
when
you put it out
there. I guess what I'm saying is deleting doesn't negate responsibility.
I just mean don't keep it out there in the world publicly.
Yeah,
It's like if I took a shit out the front of the studio, I'm not going to leave it out there.
Yeah. Well, you have.
Well, I haven't.
But you apologize for it and you continue.
And you continue.
And then 10 years later, someone came to me and said that was a really shitty thing to do. And I picked it up.
Oh,
my
God.
My lesson, and I cleaned it up because I didn't want people to continue seeing this shit.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Which upset them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if someone came to me 2 years and said, I actually took a photo of that shit, so I knew you did it, and it upset me, and I want you to apologize, I'd say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that shit. But I've also saved more young people from seeing my shit.
Yeah, that's it. A good example of that is Jeffree Star last year was called out for saying a lot of racist stuff.
Really?
Back in 2005, 2006, when he was like a musical artist and like had all these YouTube videos of him saying the N-word
and heaps of
horrible racist stuff, which he addressed.
Yeah.
And he like put out a video saying...
What year was this, did you say?
2005, 2006 when like those videos were put out, but it was last year that he put out a video like apologizing deeply for the things that he had said.
That's good. People evolve.
And that's what he was saying. Like, I've evolved as a human and I realize that those were horrible things and that'll stay with me forever, but like we'll never stop
that's
apologizing
for it. That's all you can do.
Like, and that's a great example of it. It's like, Kevin Hart, why can't you do that?
Yeah. He's a fucking moron.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Just sort it out, man.
He ruined Jumanji.
Yeah.
Was he in Jumanji?
In the reboot bullshit movie. Oh, no, I will not. I will not.
I can't believe you went to see that. You're so
I didn't see it. No, I refuse to watch it.
Oh, thank God.
I will not have Jumanji ruined for me. I want Sandra Bullock to host the Oscars in a blindfold.
Yeah.
Do you know who I'd like? I'd like to get them to get a whole lot of old school celebrities that haven't fucked up.
Yes.
Like the
this
ones,
is how you
like,
do it.
Get your Bette Midlers, your Liza Minnellis, your old school Hollywood dames.
Wouldn't they need like assistance standing up? Like,
fuck you and be very careful saying that about my idol. All of the ones that have never ever done anything wrong.
Dame Judi Dench.
Judi Dench.
So good.
Oh my God, Maggie Smith just off on the sidelines being a complete bitch.
I love
have
that.
We talked about Tea with the Dames?
No.
Oh is that God. Sunday
okay.
at your house?
We're going to do a whole segment on this, but it is four dames. It's Judi Dench, Joan Plowright, Maggie Smith, and Eileen Atkins. Mm-hmm. They, and for years, they've been drinking together and like having a fun time.
Wait, so it's like a reality.
So in real life, for years, they get like get drunk. They get drunk together for years.
Oh, we've just pulled up a picture, and it looks amazing. I want to be there.
She's like the Professor Sprout.
Yeah, they're
all.
Yeah.
Oh, Professor
Harry
Sprout,
Potter, you know.
She's also, you know, performed with like...
biggest role she had.
Laurence Olivier and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, so they, for years, have been getting drunk together and having these little catch-ups. And one of the producers heard about it and was like, can we come and film this one day?
Yeah.
We'll give you bucket loads of money. And they were like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So the four of them just get drunk. And it's a movie. And they just get really drunk and talk about like all their ex-husbands and all the people they hate and that sort of stuff. I want to see them host it.
You know who I would love to see? Obviously, like, no one outside of Australia really knows who they are. But Leland Chin.
Oh, I love Leland!
See, this is what we need to do.
Okay,
with the
we
Logies.
Need a spy to get Leland as a guest on this podcast. Because
this is how we fix the Logies: is getting like Leland Chin, Hannah Gadsby, Troye Sivan, like the cool Australian people. Like fuck off, Peter Hallier. Like,
let's
not have Ruby Rose.
No, definitely not Ruby Rose. Oh.
Oh, that new scandal.
Not that they're saying that it was her, but...
Bullying off
we'll
of
see.
Veronica.
Oh, I've figured out who it needs to be.
Who?
Her.
I think it is important to get a person of colour to host the Oscars this year. So there's no other option. Scarlett Johansson.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Oh.
Right after she's finished being the 12 Thai boys stuck in the cage.
She can also like be the usher and the photographer on the red carpet and every
she
other
can
job
be
as
the
well.
Whole, it's like a one-woman show.
Yeah.
Problem. Solved.
Now, just to wrap it up, guys, we had a little fan request quite a while ago.
Just a little one?
Yes.
Just a little.
Which I'd forgotten about, but it popped back into my mind because I caught up with this lovely old queen that I used to work with. He's retired now, but I caught up with him recently, and we were reminiscing about the fun times we had working together many, many years ago. We were talking about how, in his lunch break, he used to go down to Subway Sauna in the city, the gay
Subway Sauna?
Yeah, it's under the subway.
That makes sense. I thought it was a sandwich shop.
It's under Flinders Street Station. You will have passed it a million times. No one knows it's there. It's so inconspicuous.
Yeah,
it's weird that we haven't. We've talked about Wet on Wellington.
Yeah, like, I was like, there's other Wet on Wellingtons out there.
Never mentioned Subway Sauna.
It's like weirdly.
Well, there's
we're
also
not
one
sponsored
called,
by them.
And he used to pop down there in his lunch breaks, get a BJ in the glory hole, get a stamp out, come back to work for the afternoon, and then go back for dessert after work.
Dessert.
And we'd always have a little laugh about that. I'd be like, oh, and did you do well today? And so yeah, we had this fan request topic ages ago, which was sex at work. Who's done it? How do you do it? Is it with colleagues? Is it with randoms at work?
Oh, God.
What have we got?
Well, I recently had a cheeky time at work before Christmas.
Oh.
That was interesting.
Oh, but you work with your boyfriend.
Well, yeah, that's it.
That
so
is
like,
very easy for you.
Yeah, it was so like we've just moved salons. So we've moved from one location to another. And the last week before we moved, he had always asked like, hey, like maybe we should like do stuff in the toilet. And I was just like.
Does anyone from your work listen to it?
Well, no, it was in a hotel, so there was public toilets there, and there was like a disabled toilet, and I've never been a big fan of like doing like outdoor stuff or in public because it just makes me feel awkward. And
just
like,
family pools.
Well, just family pools. And I was like, fuck it, let's just do it, whatever. And so we went into the bathroom, and I got a cheeky BJ, and that
cheeky
was
BJ.
Cute.
Cheeky
like,
BJ,
amazing.
But like, see, I always knew when I go to get my hair cut, and they're like, I'll be back in a minute. I knew this, I knew this is where those fuckers were going.
It's when you close your eyes when they're washing your hair.
Yeah. Exactly. And you
just like get someone
dripping.
Else to take over. Oh, I'll be like, back. And like it was cute, but I was so anxious the whole time that I couldn't come.
It's not.
I don't know. I think it's like it's a fetishy thing. There's
a
lot of
totally.
Porn.
That's like very
and there is a porn with the hairdresser smock.
Oh,
you
is
know,
there?
When he's like getting a haircut and he's like,
no, I've not seen that.
Oh, like under the apron thingy.
Yeah, just like,
oh.
Do you know, I was, oh my God, sorry, side topic. But do you know once, because I'm a fidgeter and I told you I hate getting my hair cut because I can't sit still for a long time. And I was sitting at the thing and I was fidgeting under that, you know, the smock that they put on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hairdresser said, do you mind putting your hands on top of the smock? Because she thought I was masturbating. And I was
like, oh yeah, bitch, cut that hair.
I've never been back to that hairdresser's place ever again. I was so mortified that she thought I was masturbating underneath. Well, I assume that's why she asked me if I could put my hands
like,
in my lap.
You're like, don't flatter yourself.
Yeah. And I was just sort of twiddling my thumbs around each other. Oh, I know.
That reminds me, there's a similar story so one of my old work colleagues, before I worked there, she had a client in, put the smock on her, and I was on him, sorry, and he had pulled his glasses out of his pocket and was cleaning them under the gown.
Oh, yeah.
And she thought that he was jacking up and smacks him in the head. And is like, get out. And he pulls his hands up and his glasses were there. I wish I was there to see.
That is so awkward.
Fucking hilarious.
Now I feel glad that I didn't get slapped around the head. That's good. Yeah,
but they've got new smocks where you can put your hands
out. With the hole.
So you
Oh, really?
Masturbate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like an outfit.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just like a nice moo-moo.
Beautiful.
Even though, like, typically my hunting ground is... like the mentally ill with daddy issues.
That's why you got the job that you have. Yeah.
That's sort of my niche. I have avoided the sex in the workplace.
Oh, good point.
There's something about clinical depression that just doesn't really get the blood pumping. Sometimes. But I have had a few experiences with other men leaving their work.
Yeah.
And probably the only real notable ones was a guy who was like super ghosty, but not in like the spiritual way, in like a non-committal way. And then finally one day he was like, yep, I've got like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. What's your address? Mm-hmm. I'm coming. And then when he rocked up, he was full suit, Eureka.
Professional.
Like professional. Yeah. Daytime. What's the category?
A 9 to 5.
What's the category?
Executive realness. It was coming through.
Yeah. Full executive realness. And I was like, Okay, that's a lot to get through because the suit is harder to take off. And he's like, yeah, we're just shooting segments. And he was like a news reporter.
Oh, I was like, shooting segments of what?
And Peter Hitchner?
I like him old. And he was just in the area. And that was like a blow and go thing.
Yeah.
And then the only other time was in Melbourne Central. And like the little ding went off.
Yeah.
And it was,
I'm 2 meters away.
And I was like bored or something. So I entertained the idea of a toilet encounter, but then got distracted by shopping. And so I went home and this guy just continually was like, no, I would actually like to see you at least masturbate. Mm.
Oh.
Which I know it's nice when people tell you that.
Oh, romance.
And so we set up like a weird video time thingy. I realized pretty quickly in retrospect that it was a foot thing. He was like, oh, take everything off except your shoes and then don't come until you're just down to socks, but leave the socks on. And like maybe
a very like specific fetish, like you have to really concentrate on what's happening.
Yeah. And then like blow on the socks. Jeez. And whatever. And I did it all because, you know, what else was I going to do at the time? And it wasn't until, you know, like weeks later I realized, oh, that person probably saved that video, like out there in the world.
It's definitely out there in
there
the world.
There is a video of me with some dirty just coming on a sock.
Years ago, there was a guy once that I was in the city and I was bored. This guy's messaging me on Grindr and he was like, oh yeah, mask, not really on the scene or anything like that, blah, blah, blah. Which I don't care, give a fuck if you are or you aren't, but that's what he had on his profile.
Yeah.
And we're chatting and he sent me some pictures. I was like, yeah, he's cute.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I was like, do you live in the city? He's like, no, I'm at work. Come to my work. So I went to this boutique shoe shop in the Melbourne CBD. I won't get any more specific than that, but I'm sure anyone that knows him knows what I'm talking about. And he was the only person working. So he locked the front door, took me out to the stock room out the back and blew me there.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I saw a friend that night and I was like, oh, the hottest thing just happened. Like I chatting to this guy, you won't know him, he's not on the scene, he's not out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blew me in the stockroom at the back of his work. My friend's like, oh my God, show me pictures. So I showed my friend the pictures. He's like, oh my God, sweetheart, here's it poof doof gacked off his face every weekend, blowing dudes in the toilets. Like he is the queen of scene queens, you know.
Oh my God.
But you know, good on him.
I've never had sex at work, but I've gone on like lots of dates and like lunch breaks and had to like, once I went on like 2 dates in like 1 lunch break and then I like
stupidly. How long are your lunch breaks?
Well, this was like when I worked in retail. I'm like, you know what? I'm taking like an hour. Fuck you.
So you got 2 dates in an hour?
Yeah. And then, like, What's the point of dating someone? I stupidly went back to the same food court, and the other person was still there. And the whole date was like trying to dodge the other person. Oh my god!
What's the point of dating someone if you can't fuck at the end of it?
Yeah,
well, we're different people. Like, no, the company that I started at last year, like with the photo editing, it's a very small policy. It's very small, and everyone's like dating everyone. Like my two bosses, they started the business together, and then they fell in love, and then they fell out of love, and then. The boy discovered he was gay. And then they are best friends now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then there's like a few couples that have been through my work. There's a couple in my current office. But like, yeah, it's very, very...
But do they fuck?
I'm sure they do. I don't ask them about it. And hopefully not at work.
Yeah. I think my problem is I just work with ugly people. And hello to any colleagues that are listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you all for tuning in again for a new episode of The Gays Are Revolting.
New year, new me.
Back again.
Yeah, back again. Angela. It's been good.
Back again. Yes. Get the cramp.
Never.
Look after yourself. It's summer. If you get a little bit hot, why not fuck your boyfriend near his parents' pool?
That's cool.
Or at your place of work. And don't forget to fucking buy tickets to our live show on the 3rd of Feb at Midsummer. You can get them at midsummer.org.au.
And whilst you're on the interwebs, why don't you go over and rate and review us? It really helps us out when we get the good rates.
Share around.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for us online, we do actually have social media. You can search for us at Gays Revolting Pod on Instagram or join our Facebook group searching just The Gays Are Revolting and ignore whatever else comes up when you search that.
Probably some tweets from Kevin Hart. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess until next week.
Until next week.
We'll see y'all then.
2019, bitches.
Woo! Woo!
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.